News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a warm welcome to another episode of Northeast Diary, your window into the vibrant cultures, inspiring stories and unfolding events from the edge jewels of India's Northeast. I'm Vinita Thakur, and in today's program, we present an enlightening interview from the archives of Akashwani featuring Mr. Eto Mezhur Sekhos, the esteemed former regional manager of the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. In this interview, Mr. Sekhos shares fascinating insights into the historical significance of the Kohima War Cemetery and the poignant stories preserved within its sacred grounds. We'll also share a report on the discovery of new species of dragonflies and damselflies for the first time in the Sikkim Himalaya, highlighting the region's ecological significance. But first, let's head to Mizoram, where Chapcharkoot, the state's vibrant spring festival, is celebrated every March with immense enthusiasm and traditional fervor. The festival is a celebration of Mizo culture, showcasing traditional dances, music, art and cuisine. It brings communities together to honor their heritage through performances, crafts and festivities. Let's hear more about Chapcharkoot from our Aizawl correspondent Isaac.
For the longest time, Mizoram has made headlines for being one of the most beautiful states constituting diverse customs and cultures. The Mizo community has historically been attuned to agriculture and their natural surroundings. This oneness with nature is reflected in Chapcharkoot, one of Mizoram's many festivals that marks the onset of spring. The festival entails spirited dances, traditional music, and group feats. It makes for an insightful window in Mizo culture and proves educational for outsiders' gaze. Under the theme Zonun Zemoy in Remna, Mizo Ethics, Reconciliation, the state's most important and largest spring festival concluded a week-long series of cultural festivities. Addressing a massive gathering that included Governor V.K. Singh and Art and Cultural Minister Silal Soivunga, Chief Minister Pulal Duoma, who was the Kutpa, father of the festival, emphasized that the heart of the Mizo identity lies in the ability to reconcile. The Chief Minister stressed that Mizo traditional values such as respect for elders, selfless service, mutual understanding and helping one another in times of need are fundamental to maintaining social harmony and unity. He also spoke about the wisdom of Mizo ancestors, which continues to provide valuable guidance for both community well-being and economic progress. Tourists from foreign countries, different parts of India, as well as ethnic Mizo people from neighboring states attended the grand celebration in Aizawl.
Chapcharkoot Chibai. I am Grace Gasandosel from the Philippines, and I just came here to visit. And it just so happened it's the festival season, and it's really great. I love seeing the communal spirit and the promotion of culture and arts, and I'm loving all that I'm seeing. So creative, artistic, everybody's artistic and creative, from the performing arts to the woven textile to the visual arts. It's just amazing, and the atmosphere is so exhilarating. I love the group dancing and everything, and I love how everybody in the community is involved from all ages. So it's such a beautiful community gathering. I'm blessed to be here today. Yeah.
Do you intend to buy anything?
I already did. I've been shopping and I'm officially using up my money. So it's really a great experience being here. Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, yes. Thank you very much. Yes.
Chapcharkoot Chibai. So, yeah, my name is Abhishek and I'm from Kolkata, West Bengal. So I had come to visit Mizoram 3 days back and we found that this amazing festival is going on. So I'm just roaming around and checking how beautiful this place is, the local handicrafts, the handloom products and lovely people of Mizoram. I'm just enjoying the visit here and the weather is so nice and comfortable. So having a great time.
The festivities featured a diverse array of events designed to preserve and showcase Mizo heritage. Throughout the week, various events were organized, including handloom, textile and handicraft exhibitions, food processing demonstration and food courts, flower shows, a living museum, photo and painting exhibition, and a Chapcharkut theme show. Chapcharkut is a spring festival celebrated usually in March after the completion of the most tasks of Jhum operation, clearing the forest and remnants of burning. Nordi's Diary, this is Isaac from Akashvani, Aizawl.
Sikkim, nestled in the eastern Himalaya, continues to surprise researchers with its rich and largely unexplored biodiversity. In a recent finding, scientists have documented 11 species of dragonflies and damselflies for the first time in the region, a discovery that underscores its global ecological importance. Here is more from our Gangtok correspondent, Dili Ramdulal.
The research was conducted by PhD scholar Neera Rawat under the guidance of Professor Bhoj Kumar Acharya with joint inspection from Dr. K. A. Subramaniam of the Geological Survey of India. Ordinates are considered key ecological indicators due to their life cycle spanning both aquatic and terrestrial habits, and they also play an important role as natural biocontrol agent in maintaining ecosystem balance. Talking to All India Radio, Neera Rawat says,
"Hello everyone, my name is Neera Rawat and I am a PhD scholar in the Department of Zoology, Sikkim University. Recently we conducted a field sampling across different parts of Sikkim and we documented 11 species of dragonflies and damselflies, which are collectively known as odonates, that were not previously recorded from the region. It was quite exciting because it shows that even in a place like Sikkim, which is already known for its rich biodiversity, there is still a lot that remains unexplored. Dragonflies and damselflies are very important insects because they are closely linked to freshwater ecosystem, so their presence can definitely tell us a lot about the health of our environment. Also, it acts as a potent biocontrol agent as well. Through this work, we also realized that insect diversity, especially groups like odonates, is still not very well studied in the eastern Himalaya. This highlights the need for more comprehensive scientific studies and stronger conservation efforts in the East Sikkim Himalaya. I would especially like to encourage students, particularly those doing BSc and MSc in life sciences, to take interest in field-based research, because even small observation in nature can lead to meaningful scientific contribution. So I'd like to thank my institution, Sikkim University, Department of Science and Technology, Government of India, and Department of Forest and Environment, Government of Sikkim, for their guidance and support throughout this work.
Field survey carried out between April and October 2024 across Gangtok, Jorthang and Mongon recorded a total of 52 species, including 11 new state records. With this addition, the total number of documented odonates species in Sikkim has increased to 93, emphasizing the need for continued research and conservation efforts in the biodiversity-rich Himalaya region. With Mainak Chatterjee, Dil Ramdulal, Akashvani News, Gangtok for Northeast Diary.
Now let's delve into the historical significance of the Kohima War Cemetery, a poignant reminder of the valor and sacrifice witnessed on the battleground of Garrison Hill. Once the serene abode of the Deputy Commissioner, it was transformed into a battlefield where Commonwealth forces fiercely defended against the Japanese onslaught, securing victory and reopening the vital road to Imphal. In this exclusive interview from our archives, esteemed former regional manager of the Commonwealth War Graves Commission, Mr. Ato Mezor Sikhoze, shares insights into the profound importance of the Kohima War Cemetery recorded earlier. Join us as Mr. Sikhoze engages in a thought-provoking conversation with our presenter, Mr. Dominic Thomas.
When the dark wood fell before me, and all the paths were overgrown, when the breeze of pride say there is no other way, I tilled the sorrows of stone. I could not see how you came to me in the night. When the dawn seemed forever lost, you showed me your love in the light of the stars. Cast your eyes on the ocean, where my dark nights seem endless. Please remember.
When you go home, tell them of us and say, for their tomorrow, we gave our today.
These most moving lines, written about fallen soldiers, state very briefly what it is that each soldier gave to his fellow citizens. I stood thinking about the message for a long time at War Cemetery Kohima, Nagaland, on Imphal Dimapur Road. It gave me a choked feeling to see the burials and the age return in it. It is well maintained with blooming flowers in abundance. As I was reading the message and age of each fallen soldier, I met the man who maintained the cemetery for the Commonwealth War Graves Commission for more than 20 years. He is...
My name is Ato Mezor Sikhoze. I was the former regional manager of the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. I was looking after all the war cemeteries in Northeast India. I was with the Commonwealth War Graves Commission for 21 years. In fact, I was the second generation. My father was there from the inception of the Kohima War Cemetery. He retired after 40 years of service. I also have put in 21 years of service. After my retirement, my son has joined and he's been there the last 10 years.
Could you tell us, how did this responsibility of taking care of the cemetery came to you?
Just after the Second World War, at that time it was called the Imperial War Graves Commission, now known as the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. They wanted to build the war cemetery in Kohima. They needed somebody who had horticultural knowledge. Incidentally, my father had done his BSc in horticulture from Allahabad University. The deputy commissioner, Kohima district at that time, was Sir Charles Posey. He had called my father to come and join the Imperial War Graves Commission. Before that, my father was already working in the agricultural department, and from there he joined the Imperial War Graves Commission. So that's how my father joined the Imperial War Graves Commission in 1947.
What is the history of the Kohima War Cemetery?
Second World War in this region, this is called Burma Campaign. The invasion of the Japanese into India was halted at Kohima. So Kohima became a very important place for the British. They planned to build a war cemetery in the actual battle site of the Battle of Kohima. There are very few war cemeteries all over the world where the war cemeteries are built in the actual battle site, and Kohima is one of them. They say that some of the soldiers now who are buried here in Kohima War Cemetery, buried where they were killed. That's what they say.
Do we have any remains of the battlefield of the Garrison Hill?
Yes, actually, most of the graves have actual remains. During the thick battle, the different regiments or battalions, for that matter, they have unit cemeteries all over Kohima where they buried their fallen comrades in those small cemeteries. And after the Kohima War Cemetery was planned, the remains of these soldiers were exhumed from the unit cemetery and brought to the Kohima War Cemetery. The different regiments or battalions are buried in the same plot.
Who designed the cemetery and what is the design of it?
As I said, since it was on the actual battle site, they could not just have an architect to design it. And then since the war cemetery is on a slope, bungalow of the deputy commissioner, war cemetery is built over his bungalow. His bungalow was destroyed in the battle. You would see above, high above in the war cemetery is the tennis court. The tennis court of the deputy commissioner had been retained as it was those days. So those before the war, the officers used to come and play tennis in that particular area. So that is still retained as it is. The graves are buried in plot-wise on this terrace cemetery. And of course, we have the main feature, any war cemetery, is the cross. Cross, you see the big cross over there standing there. We call it the cross of sacrifice. That is, you see a sword also there on the cross. Any war cemetery all over the world, which has got more than 200 burials, will get a cross. Any war cemetery where they have got more than 1,000 burials, this is the biggest cross. This is called the B1 cross, okay? So, in the smaller cemetery, they get smaller cross, whereas this is the biggest cross because we have so many fallen soldiers who are buried here.
We see here a lot of bronze plaques or epitaphs. How many of them are there in the cemetery?
There are 1,421 graves. These are the graves of Christians, Muslims, Jews, and even Gurkhas. See, some of the Gurkhas, they are tribals. And then we have 917 Hindus and Sikhs who were cremated. So at the topmost part of the Kohima War Cemetery is what we call the cremation memorial. Cremation memorial, there are the names of 917 soldiers belonging to the different regiments and battalions. In fact, you will see even Nepalese Sher regiment.
The soldiers come from different countries across the world. Which are the countries from where soldiers fought battle here in Kohima?
The fighting around here was confined to the 2nd Division of British Army. When I say 2nd Division of the British Army, at that time, India was also under the British Raj. Even the Indian, the regiments, different regiments, come under the 2nd Division of the British Army. As I said, the 1,421 graves, among them, there are British soldiers, there are Indian soldiers, and when I say Indian again, at that time, India was undivided India. We have the 1st Punjab Regiment, the 2nd Punjab Regiment, the 15th Punjab Regiment, which all belong to now presently Pakistan. Majority of the burials, those who are buried here, are British. Then we have some Burmese also who were buried here. Australians are here. Canadians are here, but the Australians and Canadians were in the Air Force.
We find a small sapling near the cross at the tennis court. What does that sapling or that plant signify?
That is called the sniper tree. The actual tree during the war, it's a black cherry tree. During the war, Allied forces were all, you know, surrounded up there in the garrison hill. They were surrounded there, and then one Japanese sniper climbed up on this tree. He started shooting at the British soldiers, the Allied soldiers who are up there on the garrison hill, and he killed many soldiers. And then finally, one Jawan of the 3rd Assam Rifle, one Uttam Singh, he saw where the firing was coming. From the garrison hill, he came down just near below the tennis court, and then he saw that there was somebody up on that cherry tree. And then, so he fired a shot at that person, but the person did not fall down. Uttam Singh fired again, some 2-3 shots again, still then the person did not fall down. So he finally crept close to the tree. He found that the Japanese sniper had, he strapped himself around the tree so that he will not fall down. So he was dead. Uttam Singh had killed him, but he was still strapped up on the tree. Importance of this cherry tree is that the Japanese sniper had used this as a sniper post. The War Graves Commission, they wanted to save this tree. However, black cherry tree, their life is about 50 years. Original black cherry tree died, but we have collected seeds from this old tree, and we had managed to propagate them in the nursery, and we had brought one, which is an actual offshoot of the original sniper tree.
When you enter the cemetery, or when you look from the road, we find a beautiful moving inscription. How did that come, and what does that mean?
Yes, it is. It is the memorial of the 2nd Division of the British Army. Just behind that stone are 13 panels. 13 panels of the different regiments who were under the 2nd Division of the British Army. And then behind the main monolith, they have written a brief story about the Battle of Kohima. On the monolith, on the 2nd Division, it reads, "When you go home, tell them of us and say, for their tomorrow, we gave our today." These words, very inspiring, very touching word, has been quoted in many occasions these days. The army, they use it. How did this inscription or the words came? I'm told that this goes way back during the Trojan War, the Greek War, where they sacrificed their life. So they say that to tell their family they have given their life for their younger generations, for their tomorrow. That's what we had found out. The inscription came, the wording came from the Greek period.
Is there any anniversary of memorial service at the cemetery?
As an anniversary, we don't have, but we have visit by the veterans, the relative of the veterans, or the widows of the veterans. A visit being sponsored by the Royal British Legion. For the last 2-3 years, they have not been able to send any group to Kohima, because now the veterans are, those who are alive are very old. They cannot move. It is now their children and their grandchildren who are coming to see their parents' grave or their grandparents' grave.
You have been with the Kohima War Cemetery for more than 2 decades. Do you have any memorable anecdotes associated with the cemetery?
I have met so many visitors over the years in the war cemetery. There is one particular, you see, widow. Her name is Mrs. Ellen Haney. She... Her husband, Robert Haney, belonged to the Cameroon Highland Regiment. He was killed here in the Battle of Kohima. The widow, they were married for about 6 months before the war. And so they had no children. The wife also, during the war, she was working as a nurse. Immediately after the end of the Second World War, late 1945, the war cemetery was taking shape. She first visited Kohima in 1945. You see, it was very, very difficult for foreigners to get permit to enter Nagaland. She managed somehow, she managed to get the RAP, and she visited Kohima 6 times, on 6 different occasions. And then I got to know her from the 3rd visit, when Royal British Legion were getting permit from the Indian government to bring groups. So she came. In fact, the 2nd time she came, my father was there. And then from there, we became, literally became family friends. So one time when she came, she says, "When I die, I will be cremated, and my family will bring my ashes to Kohima, and you must bury my ashes around my husband's grave." I said, "Atio, will you promise me?" He said, "Yes, I will do that." And then she died 4 years ago. And then her nephew, the next year, when the Royal British Legion, the group came, he brought her ashes. And it was a very moving moment. You see, I remember the promise I made to her. So, this was a big group of veterans and the children, and some widows. So I told them that this was a promise I made to this great lady, and now it is my honor to bury her ashes around her husband's grave. So it was a very moving, touching scene. I can see many of the European ladies who were there, they were in tears, you see. For me, I think that was the most memorable part of my service with the Common World War Graves Commission.
As we were moving around the cemetery, we did meet some visitors.
My name is Catherine Hooper. I am actually American from California. This cemetery to me is really special. Although I'm not British, you can't help but feel the pain that the families who suffer their losses must feel. You just have to read the inscriptions on every memorial to know what a horrible thing war is. So this memorial is actually very appropriate for all of us in the world to actually feel and see and touch the words of the families towards those that they've lost. So it's beautifully done, beautifully maintained, and I encourage all tourists of all nationalities to spend time and not just take pictures, but walk through the cemetery, read how young these men were and one woman, and see what their families had to say.
My name is Jonathan Hackett. I'm from Canada. It's just a monumental moment for so many people so many countries, hundreds of thousands of people were affected by this moment.
Hi, my name is Hope Lockridge from Austin, Texas in the USA, and I'm finding this cemetery absolutely beautiful. It's such an honor to those men who gave their lives fighting for freedom, and the state of Nagaland has certainly put together a beautiful memorial. It's very inspiring to hear, but it's quite an honor to be here.
What does the war cemetery signify for today's generation?
Actually, I was born there in the Kohima War Cemetery, where my father, we have our cemetery bungalow. I was born there, brought up there, and even now my son also, he was born there. Maintenance of the war cemetery, we have a particular standard to keep. We cannot go beyond that. Problem here in Kohima is the shortage of water, where we don't get sufficient water to water the plants. Now, these days, the visitors come to the war cemetery. They don't know the importance of the war cemetery. They think that it is a park, and they try to come and have picnic or, you know, run around and play, which I think is not... we are not paying the respect to the soldiers who have sacrificed their lives for our country. So I think we should have some reverence. You know, when you come to the cemetery, we should remember that the soldiers who are buried here have sacrificed their life, given their life for our tomorrow. See, so they have given their today for our tomorrow. So we should rever the place. This is a sacred place, so we should respect the cemetery.
As I moved out of the cemetery, what lingered in my mind I would like to share with you. Soldiers never die, they just fade away. A brave one is sleeping, gone, but not forgotten. Is all that I could say as I left the eternal resting place of fallen brave hearts. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please remember me. Please remember.
program was presented by Vinita Thakur and produced by Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.